The Listen Foundation has been in Colorado now for 46 years and has been providing assistance for children who are deaf or hard of hearing and their families. Our guest today is Pat Greenway. She is Executive Director of the Listen Foundation. Pat, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Chuck.
Pat, let's start with the basics. What is the Listen Foundation?
So the Listen Foundation is a children's foundation. And in fact, it was the first foundation in the world to support a specialized therapy method for children who are deaf and hard of hearing so that they could learn to listen and talk. And how that happens is you first have to start with technology. These children are given hearing aids or they are implanted with a cochlear implant. So now they have access to sound. But the problem is the brain doesn't know how to process that sound. So this therapy teaches them that sound has meaning. And if you think about it, if you think of white noise, so that's what they're exposed to when they first get sound. And then the therapy teaches them how to pull out the individual sounds from their environment. So once they can identify sounds, then they can learn how to talk by listening, which is much the same way you and I learned how to talk. So a normal hearing individual spends about 12 to 18 months just listening as babies and toddlers before they start to form words. Well, you want to make sure that the child who is deaf has that same experience. So it's important to start this therapy early while the brain is most malleable and a lot of listening happens before talking occurs. But with these children, they can hear themselves talking. So the therapist works with them to fine-tune their speech so they can, you know, hear their rhythm, they can hear their articulation. And so these children end up having beautiful speech and are astute listeners.
So you wanted to help kids with hearing issues in their families. Is it sometimes hard for them to get the specialized care they need, or is it that you just wanted to come out with this new innovative way to teach children?
Well, the therapy was first pioneered back in the 50s and early 60s. So at that time, the hearing technology was very rudimentary. It was a box with earplugs. So back in the day, children went through this therapy really their entire childhood. But today, the technology for, you know, cochlear implants and hearing aids is so good that the therapy is really reduced. So getting access to this therapy is really twofold. One is the family has to know this program exists. They have to know what all their options are. That's why it's important for me to be speaking to your listeners so that they know that such a program exists. If 90% of children who are born deaf are born to hearing parents, it's important that the public knows that this is available to them. So if that should happen in your family or somebody that you know that your child doesn't necessarily have to follow a traditional pattern of rehabilitation or manual modes of communication, that they can actually learn to listen and talk and go to regular schools and be involved in all their neighborhood activities. So you want to know that this program exists, but you also want to be able to afford this therapy. And that was really the origin of the Listen Foundation back in 1969, was really from a group of parents who came together and said, this program, you know, that their children went through was so incredible that this should be made available to all families, not just those who can afford it. So really the main mission of the foundation is to raise funds so that we can provide this therapy to low-income families. We don't ever want a family denied because they don't have the resources to provide this therapy to their child. One of the big differences between this therapy method and others is that it's parent-centric. It's really the parent who is our primary client. The therapist works with the parent and teaches them how to work with their child. So the therapy goes on all day long, just in their normal everyday routines. It's really important to bathe that child in sound. So parents learn to talk. And then when the child is old enough, to elicit responses from their child. So that give and take that we do naturally in our families, their families work at that. And so that is really why this program is so successful, is because it's the parent that's the primary model for their child's language development. They're not going over here for an hour a week. You know, you just wouldn't get those results. It's something that becomes part of your lifestyle.
That's impressive. We're speaking to Pat Greenway. She's the executive director of the Listen Foundation. You can find out more information by going to listenfoundation.org. And Pat, how long does the program generally take? I mean, you're talking about working with parents and the children.
Right. A lot of that depends upon when they enter the program. Like, for example, just to brag on the kids a little bit, it just so happens this year there's a group of now teenagers who went through the program as children. They're all profoundly deaf. They all have cochlear implants. And three of these kids were just honored at the Colorado Neurological Institute's annual gala. And they were recognized because of their stellar academics, their achievement in sports, and their commitment to community service. And each one of these teens got up, gave a thank you speech, and they were so mature and poised and articulate. And I thought to myself, wow, how many of their classmates with normal hearing could get up and speak to a crowd of over 400 people like it was just a totally natural thing? And that's what's so critical about this program, is learning to listen and talk has two major benefits. The first is social. They can communicate with anyone in their world. They have beautiful speech. They're astute listeners. They can talk with everybody. And if you're born to a family of hearing parents, you know, the ability to fully communicate with your child just cannot be emphasized enough. So that's one benefit. But the second benefit is educational. Research has shown us that up to 50% of what a child learns growing up is through incidental listening. Just conversations taking place around them, at school, at home, in the workplace. Well, if you've learned to talk by a visual means, for example, lip reading, you can't hear those conversations taking place around you. So you are missing out on all of that learning. The second benefit is that these kids can be mainstreamed in a regular classroom. So what happens from the teacher perspective? What is her expectation of that child? Or his expectation of that child. It's that they will do as well as everyone else in the class. So it raises the bar. Educators aren't looking at that child as a deaf child, but as a child in their class that should meet the same expectations as their other classmates. So that's critical. And I see these kids graduating from college. The three that we were just talking to are all going to the college of their choice. They're all getting merit scholarships, not because they have a disability. They're getting it because they earned it in with their grades. Then there's another teen that is graduating this year who took sign language as his foreign language in high school. He never learned it as a child and started to learn it in high school and is loving it. He's just really excited that now he can move in and out of the hearing and deaf worlds pretty seamlessly. So he's decided to go to college to become a sign language interpreter. So think of the irony of that. This deaf, soon-to-be adult with cochlear implants is signing for an audience who cannot hear the speaker. So these kids, you know, we're not just helping them along. We are launching these kids. They are able to do anything any individual their age can do. And the world is really at their feet now. They can compete on an even playing field with any other kid their age.
And you mentioned the social aspect. They're able to take part in social activities, sports, drama. You would have to think that friendships and things are very important too.
Absolutely. And, you know, take it a step further, they can participate in the arts. These kids take dance, they take music lessons, they sing in the choir. So, I mean, their lives are full. They can do anything anyone else can do. And, you know, speaking of the social aspect, traditionally, you know, that's a huge problem for children with a hearing loss, that inability to communicate with others. And so we see these kids forming such strong relationships. Colorado Neurological Institute has a cochlear camp each summer, and these children and their families go to this camp every summer, and those relationships, they tell me all the time that they form a camp because kids from all over the United States come to this camp. It's up in Estes Park. They said, you know, these are lifelong friends. So it gives them an opportunity to connect with kids that have some of the similar issues that they have. But then they have all of their school friends and their sports friends and, you know, whatever activities they're involved with. So what has usually been a barrier for these kids is no longer.
You talked about some of the things that you do. Our guest is Pat Greenway. She is the executive director of the Listen Foundation. And you keep referring to the cochlear implant. Does it have to be that particular implant in order to work for this program? And is that free as well?
Okay, so what hearing technology a child receives is dependent on the degree of hearing loss. It's not dependent on this program. So we see children with a range of hearing loss. Most, however, are severe to profoundly deaf. And when you're at that level of deafness, in order to get enough sound in order to be able to learn to listen and talk, you need that device because hearing aids amplify sound. So there has to be some residual sound to amplify. If the degree of hearing loss is profound, then you really do need cochlear implants. And that's why so many of the children that we see have cochlear implants, because they're going to be the most behind in speech and language. And so they're the ones that need to come into the program early and get started right away.
Pat, how many kids do you help in a year annually? Is there an average number that you guys have?
Let's look at last year. In all of our programming, we helped about 240 individuals. So that's all three programs. Of that was about 75 children that received services. Not all of our kids are in the weekly program. Some kids just need tune-ups episodically to make sure that they are hearing as they should, or they've gotten a second device and they need to learn to process with their second cochlear implant. So some are temporary, some are year-round. But that's about the number of children that we'll see in a year.
We're speaking to Pat Greenway. She is the executive director of the Listen Foundation, listenfoundation.org. And Pat, I know you work with a number of outstanding organizations here in Colorado to help your organization. Do you get most of your funding, however, from donations?
Our funding comes from two major sources. One is grant funding. And so probably about half of our yearly income comes through grants. Then we have fundraising events and individual donations that make up the remaining 50%. So it's really important. This organization wouldn't exist if it wasn't for community support. We do not get government contracts. This is all the community coming together and saying, this is important, because if we invest in this child when they're very young, the public cost to the child over their lifetime is so small, because we launch them early and they become independent adults that are contributing to society.
And I would assume that you have some events that you hope our listeners or anyone can come out to and attend and help you, right?
Correct. Our main event each year is our Founders event, where we recognize people who have been contributing to this organization for almost 50 years. And at that time, the public gets to see the kids. We have the kids sing. We have the kids speak. And it's just heartwarming for the audience to see even children that are going through the program, they haven't even graduated yet, what they're able to accomplish. And so that is the one event a year that the public can really get to see the results of this program. This year's Founders event will be Sunday, October 29th, and we'll be doing it at Pinehurst Country Club. There'll be information on our website, listenfoundation.org, as we get closer to the event, and anybody from the public is welcome to come and see these kids. They are incredible.
So if one of our listeners wanted to know more information about someone that perhaps they know or themselves about the Listen Foundation, listenfoundation.org.
Yes, or they can call me directly at 303-781-9440. And my email is info@listenfoundation.org.
I think it's outstanding what you guys are doing, and I can tell how you lit up when you talked about those graduates, and I can imagine how rewarding that must feel. Is there any final words before we let you go, Pat?
Well, I think the only final word I would say is that we as a society should raise the bar on what we think these children with hearing loss can achieve, because they can achieve anything. Any benchmark you set for them, they can achieve. So it's a matter of whether we want to set that bar low or we want to set it high. And at the Listen Foundation, we set it very high.
She's Pat Greenway, the executive director of the Listen Foundation, listenfoundation.org. Pat, again, great job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Chuck.